government shutdown was avoided last week, but Republicans are still playing brinkmanship on raising the debt ceiling. The situation within the Democratic Party is not much better. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Ed, first off this week, one we've been following for a while now, what is happening with Joe Biden's infrastructure package? Democrats, most obviously Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, still openly at war.
Yeah, Jiminy Christmas. I really wish I had gone to clairvoyant school. That might give me some insights here. There are several things that are at play here. First, this is Biden's agenda. If he fails here, he fails. Second, the Republicans have become the party of obstruction rather than the party of the nation. If they tear down the democracy, it doesn't seem to matter to them. Third, Manchin and Sinema seem to be in the hands of the lobbyists and not paying any attention to the people. How this will all work out, there may be a bill that's about where I said the other day, about 2.1 to 2.3 trillion, but I don't know what the cost will be to Biden. And then we have the debt ceiling on top of that, which I think is going to require some extra movement in changing the filibuster rules to get that passed. But everything's right. This is Biden's make or break week, or several weeks. It's going to go until the end of October.
Let's just say Republicans have been playing brinkmanship on the debt ceiling as well. The threat of a government shutdown was hanging over Joe Biden last week, and Republicans are still refusing to work with Democrats in spite of a study saying this week a U.S. default would cost 6 million jobs and wipe out $5 trillion in wealth. There are reports they might be open to a short-term solution, but this would be very short-term. This would only push the problem back to December.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going. Where it goes after that, I suspect, again, there'll be some brinksmanship here. But the Democrats have to recognize they're the party in charge, just like the Republicans did. They didn't use a filibuster to get a new member of the Supreme Court or to get their tax bill through. They just walked around it. And the Democrats will have to do the same thing.
Yeah, after Republicans repeatedly blocked raising their borrowing limits, Biden has said changing filibuster rules to raise the debt ceiling is a real possibility. Could this finally be enough to eliminate the filibuster? I mean, considering it would require the support of those same rebel Dems we mentioned before.
I think they'll only do it as carve-outs, like for the debt ceiling and possibly for the voting rights. I don't think they'll do it in general, because Sinema and Manchin lose a lot if they change it entirely. Their leverage is gone.
So if Joe Biden is going to take the reins, I mean, we had this fantasy, I think, when he was voted in, this fantasy that bipartisanship would return to the U.S. system after 4 years of Trump. If he's going to say, well, the Democrats are in charge, I'm in charge, and it is time to take the reins, where do they go from here? Because obviously Republicans, they obstruct. They are just the party of obstruction under Democratic presidents now. They did it under Clinton. They took it to extraordinary levels under Obama. Their sole position is now to obstruct, even if it means cutting off their own noses.
Yeah, it means more than that this time, even if it means destroying the whole democracy. And I think that's where we are. The problem here is the stakes aren't even. The Republicans really have nothing to lose by being obstructionists. They might. I think there are a few members of the Senate who don't want the government to close down. They will come in late in the game if they have to, but only if they have to.
When is this going to happen? You know, if we're talking
sometime
late in the game.
Between now and Christmas. There are two moves here. One, the Democrats only have to do a reconciliation, but that's 50 votes. Manchin says he'll do 1.5 trillion, which means he'll go up another 0.5 to 0.7. Sinema, I don't know where she is. Manchin and Sinema will have to come together. Once they come together, that is the deal. And that's supposed to happen by the end of this month. I have no real insights here coming from any of my sources, other than they all say something will get done.
The Pandora Papers, a leak of almost 12 million documents this week, has revealed, again, the dealings of world leaders, politicians, and the uber rich, hoarding wealth, tax avoidance, bribery, and money laundering.
Now, this I noticed your name on that list, John.
Economy wishes.
And could that have been a misspelling, perhaps? all the money you have stashed away in Vanuatu is becoming relevant here. Their currency is worth, what, $1 to 50 million pesos? So you're a very rich man in Vanuatu dollars.
I should be a subject of one of these all of my own, I think.
Look. Let's do a whole show on this because your wealth is deserving of some scrutiny.
Well, look, in terms of us doing a show or in terms of us really looking at this issue, I mean, the Panama Papers, obviously enough, this is bigger than the Panama Papers, but the Panama Papers seem to have little impact on the rich or the kind of systems that we're talking about, the systems of hoarding such wealth. You know, the only impact was the journalist who exposed them in the first place was just outright murdered. Do you think this one's made much of a splash?
I'm not going to say. I'd like to live a few more years. No, I don't think it'll make any difference at all.
Mm. Social mediaites of the world were shooketh this week when Facebook, Instagram, and more importantly for a lot of people's work, WhatsApp, were out for more than 6 hours. Now, neither of us are particularly techie, so we won't get too deep into the technical side of things. But interestingly, this comes the same week Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen in a Senate committee testified that the company repeatedly prioritized profits over user safety and said that meaningful reform is necessary for our common good. Facebook obviously damned in recent times for its role in spreading misinformation about things like the 2020 election and COVID-19. Any thoughts, Ed?
Yeah, I think anybody who communicates, that includes us, over the airways, has to come under the Federal Communications Act. If you're going beyond your house, you're under the Federal Communications Act. I think that's the only way that we can get this nonsense stopped. And then when these pirates show up, you shut them down. I think it's the only way it can be now. I hate to say it, but no, I don't really hate to say it. I think the ability of people to police themselves in speech has been curbed for many, many years. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't call people names. You can't spread misinformation without being caught and punished for it. Well, you shouldn't be able to do that online or anywhere else.
Mm. We are entering into some interesting debates on this because obviously Facebook has very much resisted any kind of controls, the kind of controls you're talking about there, Ed. And the debate's been here in Australia where we don't have freedom of speech and there's already kind of restrictions on speech and the like. But here in Australia, you know, the big ones, Google, Facebook, kind of threaten to take their ball and go home if restrictions become too much for them. Can they make that same sort of threat in the US market?
Yes, they can. And I hope they do. Again, this is just a pipe dreaming on my part, I suppose. But I think it's time that we call a spade here. These are communications channels, and they need to be policed. Not policed in the sense that you police them by saying you have to do this or do that, But in the same way a radio station is or a television station is, fair play has to govern.
North Korea has continued its usual provocations, while this week also reinstating a line of diplomatic communication with the South. The South Korean election is taking place in March of next year, and conservatives in opposition have said they will take a harder stance on the North if they're installed, while calling on Joe Biden to do the same. Any thoughts on this one, Ed?
It's so hard to know who's running North Korea. The last I saw, it looked like there's somebody dressed up like him, but wasn't him. So I still think the generals are in charge there. And their food supplies are so poor. They had no crop this year. That COVID is ravaging the country. I think they're on their last legs. If they do something foolish here, it's possible that the game will be over entirely. But they are a very worrying place. I hope that some new dictator can come in soon, because what they have is a very unstable place that is troubling for the entire world.
And back home in California, off the coast of California, an oil spill has dumped some 144,000 gallons of oil, which has spread 13 square miles off the South Californian coast, closing beaches and raising fears for wildlife. What's the recovery look like on something like this, Ed?
It's going to be years. But this spill was not a tanker. It was water, oil that was on shore, stored on shore, and they found it took them too long to find where the leak was. But this is another reason for the infrastructure bill, both to get rid of these things and where they are to repair them now. California really has to have one calamity after another. It's hard to believe the place can carry on.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Make sure to subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check out Ed and I's other podcast as well, Pacific Conversations. The latest chat out this week with Ethan Kent on placemaking and the importance of public spaces. That's Pacific Conversations wherever you find good podcasts and the website edtalks.com.au.